Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible there, turn it to the book of Jonah, Jonah 1. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 1 and the story of the reluctant prophet Jonah. And this is a picture and a story of all of our lives. All of us have callings on our lives. All of us have a destiny that has been declared over our life. Before we were born, God said to Jeremiah, even before you were born, prophet, that I knew you, I was going to appoint you to speak to the nations. And so I'm sure the very same situation arose with Jonah, and this very same situation arises with you and with me. God has a call on your life. He has a destiny he wants you to walk into, and sometimes he puts us in positions and places where we are reluctant to go, and he puts us in situations where we sometimes turn around and go the other way, even knowing that this is not God's will for our life. And many times we, out of fear or out of the enemy's strongholds in our life, or the desire of the enemy to take us down and to keep us away from the will of God, we go the other way, we are disobedient, we're rebellious. And so that describes the situation here of Jonah, who was a prophet of the Lord, and yet he was in rebellion. And the whole first chapter we're going to look at today, he was in rebellion to God's call on his life. He was in rebellion to what God wanted him to do, and Jonah knew it. And yet he turned around and he went the other way. And somebody out there say amen, because I know this describes each and every one of us as we think about God's call on our life and as we think about what God wants us to do to move his kingdom forward here in our short days, in our brief lifespan here on this earth. He wants us to move his kingdom forward. Well, let's take a look at the scripture in verse 1. Says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Well, God is pinpointing Jonah. There's no way he can escape God's call on his life. There's no way that he can not know that this was God. It says the word of the Lord came to this brother, to this prophet. But in verse 3, we see the rebellion set in. We see Jonah decide to go the other way, and he is in rebellion to the Lord. It says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So it's obvious here that Jonah was running from the presence of the Lord. Well, brother and sister, each of you have been given a commission. You have been commissioned by the Lord. If you are a believer, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God doesn't just want you to be a Sunday-only Christian. He doesn't want you to just hang up your evangelism on Sunday at noon when you get home from church, or after you get done listening to this radio broadcast, just check it out for another week. God wants you to step forward into places and into situations that may be uncomfortable for you, that may bring fear into your life, that may bring desire in your life, in your natural, to run the other way. And yet God is still going to keep that calling for you, the gifts and callings of the Lord. It tells us in Romans 9, the gifts and callings of the Lord are irrevocable. So, brothers and sisters, you cannot run from the Lord. You can try, but you're going to have to come to a place at some point in time where God is going to put the brakes on your running, where God is going to say to you, well, I've given you enough leash. Now is the time for you to stop and come to terms with me. Well, we all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28:17, where Jesus told the disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him, and so he passed that authority on to the disciples, and he said, go into all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Well, we haven't gotten to the end of the age yet. We're still making our way there, and I think, as most of you can see, the closer we get to the end of the age, the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more chaotic, the more the birth pangs are going to be closer together, the birth pains are going to be more painful, the time of sorrows is going to be more sorrowful. As we look around the United States and other countries, we see chaos starting to erupt. We see breakdown of all kinds of civil society. We see lawlessness starting to prevail, even from the top echelons of our society, from the leaders of our society. We see lawlessness start to prevail. And so it is more important, brother and sister, it is more important now than ever before that you answer the call of God. If you want to see His kingdom come, if you want to see your children come to know the Lord, if you want to see your grandchildren have an opportunity, the same opportunity you have to have a civil life, it is more important than ever before that you answer the call of God on your life, that you step forward out of your comfort zone and get into your uncomfort zone and step forward and move forward into what God has called you to do. And whatever that is, it's different, I'm sure, than what He has called me to do. Every single person, their calling is unique. Every single person, their destiny is unique. God uses each person's individual attributes, individual gifts, and individual strengths to move His kingdom forward. And I just beseech you, brethren, right now today to make a plea, make a pledge to the Lord and a plea for strength and a plea for mercy, that you can move forward into what He has for you and that you can make a mighty mark, that you can make a difference here on this earth, in this place, in this city, in this nation, and make a difference for the kingdom of God in the life that He has given you to live. Well, so first of all, I want to just sum up that you have your calling, and you have your calling just as Jonah did. And so we can look at this story of Jonah and say, wow, that's really a nice story, but I want you to bring this home to you and to your life. And you, as you flee from the presence of the Lord, or as you step into the presence of the Lord, you reflect on your life and see what God has for you. All right, secondly, Jonah went against the will of God, and there is always a price to pay when you go against the will of God. All right, in verse 4, we're going to take a look at that price as the Lord starts to put the brakes on Jonah and his running and his rebellion. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. Well, that does describe us at times. We're fast asleep when the chaos is breaking all around us, and we're fast asleep. And many times the chaos and the turmoil that we have caused by our rebellion doesn't hit us. We're sleeping right through it, but it may be hitting our family. It may be hitting our children. It may be hitting the people that we've hurt and damaged along the way. And so the mariners weren't having any of this. They were going to go down, and they were going to find out what was going on with this man Jonah. And so they cast lots. In verse 7, it says, they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, and we may know for whose cause this trouble or this tempest has come upon us. So they cast lots, and wouldn't you know, the lot fell on Jonah. Well, the book of Proverbs tells us that the Lord is in charge of the lots. Or in other words, when the lot falls on you, it's of the Lord. And then they said to Jonah, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from, Jonah? Where's your country? And of what people are you? And so he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And so he started to give testimony to that fact that he was a son of God. He was a child of the one true God, the God of heaven. And so he gave testimony. Well, brothers and sisters, when you go against the will of God and God brings you to a halt, God brings you to a place where He says no more, it is time for you to stop. You have two choices to make. you can turn back to the Lord. You can repent of your wicked ways, of your sin. You can turn back to the Lord and you can seek Him. It doesn't matter how far down the road you have gone. It doesn't matter where you find yourself, if it's in a place of deep darkness, if it's in a place in the hog pen as in the prodigal son, or if it's in a place where you're in some kind of cult or demonic religion, or you're trapped in all kinds of bondage, drugs, alcohol, or pornography, or whatever. When you decide in your mind that you want to come back to God, you need to repent of your sins. You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you, and you need to seek His grace and His mercy. And beloved, God is always faithful and true, and He will forgive you of your sins, and He will welcome you into His loving arms. When David sinned, King David sinned in Psalm 51, he describes his thought process. He describes his behavior and his desire to come back for the Lord. And he said in verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Well, we know King David had sinned mightily and greatly against God. He had taken his brother in the battle. He has taken his brother's wife and had an adulterous affair with her and fathered a child by her. And then he arranged to have his brother set forward in the battle, brother Uriah, and he was killed in the battle. So David was complicit in murder. He was complicit in deceit and lies of the greatest magnitude, and he caused a great grief to the Lord. He sinned against God of heaven. He sinned against his fellow man, and so he was full of remorse. He was full of regret, and he said, "Wash me thoroughly, Lord. Cleanse me from my sin." Psalm 51:3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." And so as David repeated these confessions before the Lord, we need to do that when God brings you to your end, when you come to the recognition that you're full of sin, when you come to the recognition that you have transgressed against your fellow man and against God, you need to then get down on your knees and say, "Lord, forgive me my transgressions. Lord, forgive me my sin. Cleanse me. You alone have I sinned against and done evil in your sight." And then in Psalm 51:7, it tells us the sacrifices of God, or the sacrifices that God loves, are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And these, O God, you will not despise. And so when we get our spirit broken and we come to the recognition of the fact that we are a sinner, that we have no standing before God except through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have no standing before God, then we need to acknowledge our sin, turn from our wicked ways, ask the Lord to forgive us, and He is faithful and true to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Well, the third point I want to bring up is that the Lord can bring calamity into our life to chasten and correct us. 6:4, "The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up." Brothers and sisters, some of you listening out there today, your ship is breaking up. Everything that you touch, you might say, turns to dust, or turns to despair, or turns to brokenness, and your ship is breaking up, and you're in a violent storm-tossed sea, you're in a tempest or a hurricane of great magnitude, and God can do that. He is able to do that. Don't get mad at God if He allows tempests and storms to come into your life to try to bring correction into your life. Just when you come to that acknowledgement that your own sin, your own rebellion, your own wayward habits, your own wayward lifestyle has brought you to this point, then give thanks to the God who raises you up. Give thanks to the God who can forgive you, whose loving kindness is great, and give thanks and praise Him that you're still standing. Many brothers and sisters don't make it. They are not standing because of their rebellion. Many awful things have happened to them, or accidents or calamity. Isaiah 45:7 tells us this, that God is the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. And I don't believe God hates us. I don't believe he's against us. I don't believe he is a person that wants to see us suffer or wants to see us in pain and sorrow, but he can allow calamity in our life, and many times it's just because of our own foolishness, our own foolish decisions. Calamity comes into our life, and sometimes God just says, I trust that his faith is going to be strong enough that he'll be able to stand up against the devil, against the schemes of the devil, just as in Job. And so God allows us to bring us back to a place where we are seeking him, to bring us back to a place where we are obedient to him. I know in my own life that was the case. I was rebellious. I was running from the presence of the Lord. And God finally brought enough calamity, enough sorrow, enough pain into my life where I finally said, okay, God, I'm going to start to listen to you. I'm going to start to do things your way. I'm going to start to study your word. I'm going to start to seek your face. I'm going to start to be obedient to what you have me to do. And I can guarantee you, brother and sister, he will do the same for you, and you will be better off for it. Hebrews 12:5, about chastisement and discipline, says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there who God does not chasten? Well, and beloved, just as you were disciplined by your parents, or hopefully you were, and just as you were chastened by them, and sometimes you were made to sit in time out, sometimes you were spanked, sometimes you were grounded and taken away from your friends, so it is. God chastens, and he deals with his children, and he deals with them in a way that they will come to understand that they love him because of the chastening that he does for them. Well, in every situation, God wants us to lead others to back to him. And Jonah gives his testimony in verse 9. I am a Hebrew, for I know the Lord. I fear the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And so we get back to God, we get back to a place in the presence of God by giving testimony to him. And David goes back in Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. And so just as Jonah gave testimony to God, so David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. I want to lead sinners to you. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Renew to me the joy of my salvation. And brothers and sisters, if you're out there lost and you're on the broken ship, you're riding that broken ship, you start testifying to God. You start making a witness and a testimony to God, the one who saves you. And then you start to lead other sinners. You start to go and lead other sinners back to the Lord and back to the man who came and to Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for you and shed his precious blood for you, that your sins may be forgiven. Well, we know the rest of chapter 1. The sailors picked Jonah up. They threw him into the sea in verse 12. And then it says in verse 16 that the men, that is the sailors, feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. In other words, testimony of Jonah, because the sea became calm when they threw Jonah back into the sea. And so the witness of Jonah that he feared the God of heaven, and the fact that the sea became calm when Jonah was thrown, allowed himself to be thrown into the sea, was a testimony to these men that there was something extraordinary going on with this man Jonah, that there was something extraordinary and that Jonah was sent to them to be a witness and a testimony of the God of heaven. Well, verse 17 wraps up chapter 1 here, and it says, "Then the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And so that wraps up the first chapter of the story of Jonah. And Jonah was running, he was running, and then all of a sudden he came to his end, he came to a stop, and the Lord says, "Enough of your running, Jonah. I'm going to chasten you, I'm going to discipline you, and I'm going to bring you back to a place where you will desire to serve me." Well, I hope the Lord brings you back to a place. Some of you out there listening to me today, the Lord is bringing you back to a place. You're curious, you have a desire to come to know the Lord, and the Lord is bringing you back to a place where you want to seek Him, where you want to know Him, where you want to confess your sins. And so I pray you do that today, that you just turn and confess your sins, you get down on your knees, you turn from your wicked ways, and you said, "Lord, come in," and you say, "Lord, save me, cleanse my heart, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a steadfast spirit, and then you go to seek the Lord's will in your life. If you do that today, if you seek Him, if you cry out for Him, the Lord will be faithful and true to save you. You will know in your heart you're saved. Follow it up with Christian baptism, and let me know if you make that kind of a decision. Let me know so I can rejoice with you and get you some materials to start you on your Christian walk. Well, we're going to look some more at the story of Jonah, the second part, next week. And so tune in next week. And thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week.